Jeremiah, and we're going to go to the second chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Boy, how many of you have ever read the book of Jeremiah? How many out there have read the book of Jeremiah? If you haven't, now is the time. Read the book of Jeremiah, and it's very timely and applicable even to what we are going through in 2021. Jeremiah, what do we know him as? What is the nickname that Jeremiah has been given? It's the blank prophet. Who remembers? The blank prophet. Maybe you could type it in there. Maybe you remember what it is. We'll give it in just a minute. But let's pray, and then we'll jump into this Bible lesson right now. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the blessings that you continue to bestow upon us. Thank you, Lord, that you do want to revive us. And as we discover in the book of Jeremiah tonight, I pray this afternoon that you would challenge us with regards to this theme that you've laid on my heart from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Jeremiah chapter number 2, and really Jeremiah is a book of the Bible that is filled with sermons. It's filled with sermons, and it's Jeremiah preaching to Judah. And Jeremiah is what we would call a priest prophet. He did both. He was doing both. And his father, Hilkiah, was also a prophet. And this is to Judah. And the message that Jeremiah is preaching all throughout the book is basically this: Babylon is coming. Judgment is coming, more or less. And do you remember what Jeremiah is called? The blank prophet? You probably got it by now. The weeping prophet. The weeping prophet. If you didn't know that, now you do. And the reason why he's called the weeping prophet is because of the condition of his country, the condition of Judah. It's amazing if you follow the life of Jeremiah. He's someone who was so consistent and faithful, even in the midst of his message not being heard much at all. So much so that he was cast into prison. He was in a dungeon, and on it goes. Well, tonight, this afternoon, we're going to look at several verses in chapter 2 and chapter 3. And what we are reading is basically sermon number 1. Sermon number 1. Jeremiah chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, and remember, when the prophets in the Old Testament, they would give the message that God gave them. Now, you say, does God give you the message? Yes, He does. But He's given me the message in His Word. We have the completed revelation of God, don't we? It's called the Old Testament and the New Testament. 39 books, 27 books, so we have 66 books in our Bible. That's the revelation that we've been given from God. God hasn't come down and told me anything new that wasn't in the Bible, okay? And by the way, if anybody tells you He has for them, they're not being very truthful either. God speaks to us through His Word. He speaks to us through His Spirit. He speaks to us through creation. He speaks to us through other believers. But what I'm saying is, notice the way this is worded. The word of the Lord came to me saying, okay? He did not have the Bible as we do today. So God was giving Jeremiah the message to preach. Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord. So let's think about this as we jump into this. This was not Jeremiah's words. This was God's revealed word to Jeremiah for the people of Judah. And isn't that what we want today? We want to hear from God. By the way, we need to hear from God. It is imperative that we hear from God. And so he says, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Notice, Israel was, past tense, holiness unto the Lord, and the firstfruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. And here it is again. Thus saith the Lord. So do you see that? In verse 1, We have the word of the Lord. In verse 2, thus saith the Lord. In verse 4, hear ye the word of the Lord. In verse 5, thus saith the Lord. What iniquity have your fathers found in me? That they are gone far from me and have walked after vanity and become vain. Do you see that? You see what God is telling Jeremiah? Go tell the people, what am I guilty of? God is saying, what iniquity? Where have I wronged them? Where have I become vain? Where have I walked after vanity? And the answer to that is God hadn't denied them. God hadn't forsaken them. God had taken care of them every step of the way. He's saying basically to Jeremiah, challenge the people that why are you rebelling against me? I've done nothing for you to rebel against me. Verse 6, neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts, of pits, through a land of drought, and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, where no man dwelt. And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, that would be Canaan, right? Ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me. And the prophets prophesied by Baal. I mean, what a turn of events. I gave you food and I gave you everything that you needed. And this is what you returned to me. Walked after the things that do not profit. But this is the theme verse this afternoon, verse number 9. Are you there with me? Let's read it. Ready? Wherefore, I will yet plead with you. I'm going to read that again. Wherefore, I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord. Not only with you, notice, with your children's children will I plead. I want to just speak to you for a few minutes. We're going to be getting this afternoon service done hopefully a little bit earlier because of our new schedule. But I want to focus, though, on the message that God's given. When God pleads His cause. When God pleads His cause. Heavenly Father, thank You for these verses of Scripture, and I pray You'd help us to make the application now. And not only make an application, but Lord, that it would be a part of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. When God pleads His cause, what does He do? Number one, He reminds us of His past goodness. We just sang about it. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. He reminds us of His past goodness. Look at verses 6 and 7. And we see here, I'm not going to reread them, but in verses 6 and 7, God is saying to Jeremiah, I want you to go remind the people that it was me who brought you out of Egypt. It was me who caused the 10 plagues. It was me who gave you manna to eat every morning, 6 days a week. It was me who had quails flying in V formation, flying in, and all you had to do was go out and pick them up and eat them. It was me who gave you water from a rock when you were thirsty. It was me who kept your clothes from wearing out as you wandered through the wilderness. I was there in a cloud, and I was there in a pillar of fire. It was me. I took care of you. I brought you to the land of Canaan and cities that you built not. I provided for you the best of the best. And that's what God is saying. When God is pleading, when God pleads His cause, number one, He reminds us of His past goodness. Look at verse number 7, if you will. He said, I brought you into a plentiful country. This would be to eat the fruit thereof, the goodness thereof. And so God says, hey, I'm pleading my cause. Don't forget my goodness. Don't forget my provision for you. Don't forget what I've done for you in the past. Oh, today, Anchor Baptist Church, I want to encourage you. Maybe you're visiting today, by the way. Thank you for being a part of this live stream meeting. We hope to meet you in person very soon. Please let me know if there's anything I can do to help you. At the end of the meeting, my email address will be on the screen. Please jot it down and communicate with me and let me know how I can help you. Or if you have any questions, I don't have all the answers, but God does. And so, we want to be a help to you and encourage you in these days. And I'm thankful for what God is enabling us to do within the opportunities right now that we have. But God said to the people through the prophet Jeremiah, remind them of my goodness. I hope in 2021 and in 2020 that we haven't got to the place where we have forgotten the goodness of God. I hope we haven't arrived at a place where we have forgot all that God has provided for us. And I think about coming in on the 20th anniversary of Anchor Baptist Church, the first Sunday of June this year. In just a few months, we'll celebrate 20 years of Anchor Baptist Church. It is not the pastor's church. It is not the member's church. It is the church of the living God. And I can tell you wholeheartedly that God has been and God will continue to be good to us. But when God pleads his cause, number one, he reminds us of his past goodness. Number two, he reminds us, or doesn't remind us, but he challenges us. That would be better. He challenges us in our current sin. In our current sin. Notice, if you will, verse 13. We did not read about it, but notice what it says. And I find this to be a very intriguing verse of Scripture. For my people have committed two evils. All right? So two problems here in sermon number one from Jeremiah. What are they? One, they have forsaken me. They have forsaken me. What was the significance of that? Well, God says about himself in verse 13 that I am the fountain of living waters. The fountain of living waters. Now you think about a fountain of water. You think about a stream of water, okay? And it's a continual flow of water. It's a continual flow of nourishment. It's a continual flow of water coming from maybe here we have glacier fed because the snow will melt and the streams and the rivers. It's just a continual flow. In other words, you don't need a container when you've got, as God says here, a fountain of living water. You just come to the fountain and it never runs dry. We learn about that, right, in the New Testament. And so God says they've committed two evils. Number one, they've forsaken me. They've walked away from the water that always is available. They've walked away from a fountain of water. But then number two, interestingly enough, he says, they have hewed them out cisterns. Hewed them out cisterns. What it means is they've made these cisterns to store the water in. These containers to store the water in. But water will only be good stored for a limited amount of time. Think about that. Even water kept in a container for a long period of time begins to corrupt, and it begins to not have the value, and it doesn't nourish like it ought to, and it could even, things could begin to grow in there, and it would actually be quite harmful to us if we were to drink that water. So not only is that a downgrade from just a living stream of water, but then notice what the Bible says descriptively. They are not just cisterns, they are broken cisterns. So not just were they going to put water in a cistern that would eventually spoil, if you will, but they're going to put water in a cistern. Look what it says. It has holes in it. It can hold no water. It can hold no water. So what is the current condition of Judah here? Number one, they are forsaking God. They are forsaking God. And you think about the country of Canada and how much God has been forsaken. You think about how much God has been pushed out of the society that we live in. And you think about how much God has been basically relegated to just some mythical individual or whatever it may be. We have forsaken God as a country. And many countries we could say that about today. And the worst part of it is this, that even sometimes we as God's people, we begin to try to figure it out another way. We begin to go and get another cistern, and we begin to go and get another pot, and those things have holes in the bottom of them. And what we need is, we don't need a new cistern. We don't need a new pitcher. We need to make sure that we are right next to that living water that never will run dry. We need to stay close to God. And Jeremiah says, you guys are foolish. You have forsaken God, number one. But then number two, you have thought of foolish alternatives. Foolish alternatives. Cisterns with holes. Now, again, we come back to the whole theme of the afternoon message, and that is this. When God pleads his cause. God is not just coming down with his giant judgment hammer. Now, judgment is coming. Babylon will come. But in the meantime, Jeremiah is really sent by God on a mercy mission. A mission of mercy. He's been given a directive from God. Remind the people of my goodness. Challenge the people their current sins. Number three, look at verse 28. Look at verse 28, chapter 2. But where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Let them arise. Go ahead, have them get up. Let's see what they can do. Notice the small g. Where are thy gods that thou hast made? Let them arise. If they can save thee in the time of trouble. Let's, you know, I can almost see it. God is sitting back, not like this, I'm sure, but sitting back with his arm crossed saying, okay, you've got these false gods. You've got Baal and Ashtaroth, and you've got all these other wicked gods. Let's see what they can do in your time of need. Let's see how they're going to help you. Verse 28. For according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. Did you catch that? Every city, they have a different god. Man, you talk about craziness. You talk about confusion. You talk about going away from the one true God and bringing in all this mess. Number three, when God pleads his cause, he reminds us of the folly of other gods. He reminds us of the folly of having other gods. Now you say, Pastor Ben, we don't have other gods. We don't have Baal and Ashtaroth. I beg to differ with you. We need to be careful because we as God's people, if we're not careful, anything that comes between you and your relationship with God is called a what? Called an idol. Anything. Anyone. It may not be wood. It may not be Buddha. It could be a job. It could be a car. It could be a family member. I don't know what it may be. You've got the things in your life, and I have the things in my life. I'm just saying, let's be diligent, and that's not the word I want. Let's be aware of what has come between us and God. Let's walk circumspectly. Be careful. God is pleading his cause to you and to me, and he's saying, how do you expect to make it through 2021 with your false gods? Go ahead, let's see. You're gonna rely on your job, you're gonna rely on your education, you're gonna rely on this or rely on that. No, God says to you and to me today, it's time that the family of God says, I am 100% reliant on my Heavenly Father for everything that I could ever need or ever desire or ever want. When God pleads his cause, he tries to get us to remember the folly in having false gods. What's your false god this afternoon, sir? What's your false god, ma'am? Teenager, what's your false god today? I want to encourage you. Your false god is only folly. Your false god is not going to be there when you're in a great physical when you're in a critical need physically and you need the God of heaven to put his healing hand on you. Your folly and your false god, and I'm talking to me right now too, by the way, not just you, I'm talking to me. Our false god, let's say it that way, is not going to be the one who's going to help us meet the financial need that comes our way. No, who's going to do that? Our loving Heavenly Father. Just like he did for the nation of Israel, time and time and time again. When God pleads his cause, number one, he reminds us of his goodness. When God pleads his cause, he challenges us regarding our current sins. And thinking that over again, I wonder, is there a sin that you need to confess today? Aren't you glad for the word of God? Would you go with me to 1 John chapter number 1, quickly. 1 John chapter number 1. Many of you know these verses, but let's read them. You read them silently, or you could even read them aloud while you're there. 1 John chapter number 1. And verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Amen for that. If we say that we have no sin, verse 8, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. We believe this is written to the Christian. What does that tell us? That tells us that Christians still sin. It tells us that Christians still need to be forgiven. It doesn't mean that we need to get saved again. It doesn't mean that we need to ask Jesus Christ into our life again if we have sinned. Because the Bible says that we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and we have been given eternal life, and we will never perish. So what happens when sin enters into the life of a Christian and it takes hold? Here's what happens. It affects my fellowship with a holy God. The Bible tells us that God is holy. And when sin is reigning in my life and when sin is ruling in your life, I am not going to have the fellowship that God wants to have with me. There's a block in the way. The prayers are hitting the ceiling, as we say, and that's as far as they're getting. And maybe they're not even getting that far. The point is this, that sin that is in your life, dear Christian brother, that sin that is in your life, dear Christian sister, it is imperative that you see it for what it is, call it what it is, and forsake it for what it's doing and get rid of it in your life, seeking to restore the fellowship with a holy God. You don't have to get saved again, but that fellowship can be restored just like that. As we come to God and we seek His forgiveness and we forsake that wrong that we know we're doing. And so when God is pleading with us, let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 2 once again in verse number 9. Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord. Isn't that amazing? The people are walking away from God. And God is, it's basically something like this. They're walking away from God and God is saying, hey, have you forgotten what I did for you in Egypt? Have you forgotten what I did for you in the wilderness? Hey, you're walking away. It's foolishness. You're walking away and I've got the words of living water and I've got the water of life and you don't need anything. You just stay by me and you'll have all the water, the nourishment, if you will. You're trying to go a different direction and it's folly the way that you're going. Okay, while you're on your way, let's see how those false gods help you. I remember hearing this as a teenager. I remember hearing preaching about having the wrong kind of friends and how dangerous that is. I remember preachers telling us that the wrong kind of friends, the wrong kind of crowd, they're not going to be there for me. They're not going to be there for us when destruction comes our way and defeat comes our way. And we've learned over and over again through this RU ministry that Steve Currington, when he was laying on his hospital bed after leaving and wandering away from God for 10 years, it was a Sunday school teacher that came to visit him. Who didn't come to visit him? Drug dealers. Who didn't come to visit him? Drinking buddies. And on we could say it. I think we just need to be reminded of something. God is pleading with you right now. Many might be someone tonight on this meeting, on this afternoon meeting, that you're like the nation of Judah. You're walking away from God. Here comes judgment. Judgment's coming at you. You're walking toward it, and God is pleading with you. Why is God pleading with you? Because He loves you. Why is God pleading with Canada? Because He loves Canada. Why is God pleading with me? Because He loves me. Why is God pleading with any nation? Because He loves people. He died for those precious souls. And he sees Babylon coming and he says, Jeremiah, you've got to go preach. I don't know if anybody, God knew, but Jeremiah preached. Don't worry about whether they listen or not. And very few did, by the way. We would look at Jeremiah's ministry right now and the way that we view things and we would say, Jeremiah was a failure. But Jeremiah did what God called him to do. That was deliver these messages. So when God pleads His cause, number one, He reminds us of His past goodness. Number two, He challenges us regarding our current sins. Number three, He points out the folly of false gods. Number four, He seeks us to return unto Him. He calls us to return unto Him. Look at chapter 3, please. Chapter 3, this is still the same message. That's why I say you've got to read Jeremiah. You've got to look at these preaching these messages that Jeremiah, this is all part of message number 1. Notice what it says in verse 11. Chapter 3, verse 11. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Look at this. He's got Israel and Judah, and he says they're both a mess. They're both living wrong. Verse 11, verse 12. Go and proclaim these words toward the north. That would be Israel, right? Judah in the south. What's the message? Return thou, backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. And I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. Look at verse 14. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children. Look at verse 22. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. And look at verse 23. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. The fourth point when God pleads His cause is He calls us to return. Israel and Judah are both walking away from God. And in the midst of this, He's saying, don't you remember my goodness? Don't you remember what I did for you? You're living in sin. You've forsaken me. You're foolishly putting water into broken cisterns. And the folliness of these false gods, one in every city. What have they done for you lately? And then He says, come back. You can see it now. Envision it if you will. Maybe you've done this before. You've stepped outside your porch, and maybe your child was walking down or somebody's walking down. You call them and say, hey, come back. You forgot something. Just think, that's exactly how I envision this. That God is telling Jeremiah, tell the people, hey, come back. Come back, I'll heal you. Come back, we can come back. I love you. Why is He telling them to return? Again, it's from God who is love. If God is not a God of love, He just lets them go headlong to judgment in Babylon. But all the way through, we see God reaching out for His people. They don't always listen. In fact, in this case, they don't. And judgment does come. There's no way we can go into the Word of God and say God doesn't try and pour out His heart to the people and saying, come back, come back. Return unto me, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. Return unto me. I see one more. I see one more when God pleads His cause. Number one, we are reminded of His continual mercy. We are reminded of His continual mercy. We skipped over it in verse 12, and I hope you'll circle these words. Verse 12 of chapter 3. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return thou, backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. I want you to circle these words if you don't mind, or at least jot them down. Notice, for I am merciful. Would you read those words with me? Ready? Begin. For I am merciful. Merciful. One more time. For I am merciful. I want you to learn. I want you to let that ring true in your heart today. I want you to remember it. Pastor Turner, I want to remember it too. That God is merciful. When God pleads His cause, it's a reminder that His mercies are new every morning. Not one day do you and I get up and we don't have any mercy left. God doesn't have any mercy left. No, God has all the mercy you or I could ever need for every day that we have to live. Not one month can come into your life where you could say, I didn't have the mercy of God here. There's never been a time in your life or my life when God has not extended a merciful hand to you and to me. Oh, those that are listening right now, especially those of you that are listening right now, and you are not sure that heaven is your eternal home, I beg of you, I plead with you, find eternal life in the Scriptures of the Word of God. Find Jesus Christ. Read John chapter 3. Read John chapter 14. Because it is of God's mercy that you're still alive tonight. Because when you take your last breath without accepting Christ as Savior, the Bible says that you will go directly to hell. And the mercy of God will be over in your life. Oh, dear lost one tonight, this afternoon, humble yourself tonight. Quit running away from what you know is true. Quit running away from what you know. God's love is in all over this book, and God's mercy is still available. Stop running away from it tonight and come to the cross and be saved. Stop running away from God and trying to work your way to heaven, and you're trying to pour things into buckets that have holes in them. No, come to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has done everything for you. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the living water. Come to Him right now. Don't wait. Don't delay. Come to Christ now. He's calling you. He's calling you. I'm reminded of that song, Come Home, Come Home. I'm not on tune. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. I'm finally on tune now that the song's over. Calling for you and for me. You see, he's pleading his cause. He doesn't immediately go to judgment. And yet he had every right to. Have you ever thought about the flood? He didn't flood the earth right away. Year after year after year after year, Noah and his boys are pounding those nails in or whatever they pounded in. They're getting that wood, that gopher wood. Ham had to go for some more wood, right? I know you've heard that one before. And every year, the preacher of righteousness, Noah, was saying, flood's coming. That boat was a vessel of mercy. That boat was the Savior. Old Testament picture of the Savior. Judgment didn't come right away. Even though the world was living in an unbelievable type of way of life. And yet God was pleading his cause through the preacher, Noah. In 2021, I submit to you that God is still pleading his cause. And as in the days of Jeremiah, wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and notice, and with your children's children will I plead. You know what I get from this? I get from this that God is continuing from every generation to plead with us. Because he loves us. He's trying to say, hey, don't forget. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. He's trying to get us to realize that we have sin in our life. We need to confess it and forsake it. He's trying to show us that it's folly to have all these false gods who can't do anything. He's trying to say, come back. Come to me. I've got plenty of mercy for you. When God pleads his cause, this is what happens. I believe God is pleading his cause in your life this afternoon. I believe God is pleading his cause in my life. The question is this. Will we listen? He doesn't go and grab us by the shoulders and grab a hold of us and pull us back to him. But he stands here as I am standing here and he says, come back. And it's up to us to turn around and come back to him. It's just like the prodigal. The father did not go to where the son was. But as soon as the son came back to the father, what did the father do? Gave him a hug. Kissed him on the cheek. And you know the rest of the story. How's God pleading his cause in your life? I hope it won't go in one ear and out the other. I hope you'll consider how he's pleading with you.